You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk the final episode, maybe ever, of The Walking Dead, colon The Ones Who Live, on AMC and AMC Plus. I seem so foolish and dumb after like the last couple of episodes. We're talking about, or at least I was talking about, how there's got to be a second season to this show. Aurora, do they wrap things up in one episode?
Yep.
Oh, they wrap things up in one episode.
In a very pretty nice little bow.
They really did. I mean, and they did a couple of things that are just kind of, you know.
Well, just say it.
Rick Grimes is invincible.
Oh yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, but we've seen them get out of jams before, right? We've seen them get out of situations where other people would definitely die, and you know, we've seen them survive, like getting a hand cut off and getting shot and stabbed.
Right.
I mean, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit more, but he blew up twice.
Yes.
Not a scratch. Yes. Barely a scratch.
Yes. Yes. I thought that Daryl was the invincible one, but I guess not. I mean, Daryl is still invincible.
There needs to be some sort of explanation for this.
I would love to see like a show that's Michonne, Rick, and Daryl. Mm-hmm. They will like, they're probably the three people that are going to survive the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about what happened in episode 6 called The Last Time. Rick and Michonne return to Cascadia Base, where Michonne sneaks in and finds and destroys Jadis's dossier.
Very easy, by the way.
Yeah, it really wasn't that difficult. Before attending a briefing for the frontliners, where Michonne learns about what the CRM intends to do, which is wipe out the Portland sanctuary, the city,
the community.
It is the last of the triad of communities. They're going to abduct the children from Portland before destroying it with chlorine gas. Rick is given the echelon briefing, which Beale informs him the truth about the destruction of Omaha and the campus colony and the upcoming attack on Portland. Beale reveals that, believing that humanity only has around 14 years left, the CRM is going to declare martial law on the Civic Republic and destroy survivor communities all across the world, scavenging their resources to ensure their own survival. Rick then kills Beale with his own sword, and Rick and Michonne rig up a makeshift bomb on the chlorine gas arsenal before being confronted by Thorne, who had deduced the truth about Michonne's identity. Michonne is then forced to kill Thorne, and the bomb and the gas kills the CRM force command and all of the frontliners except for Rick and Michonne and Thorne.
Yeah.
Who somehow all survived this. I mean, yes, we'll talk about it, but oh my God. With the CRM's atrocities exposed and its command structure decimated, the civilian government takes over and reforms the CRM to aid survivors while enabling free travel to and from the city. Rick and Michonne return home and are finally reunited with their children, Judith and RJ. Aurora, what did you make of the final episode of the Rick and Michonne show?
Where to start?
So much. It is exactly that thing that we feared of setting up how unescapable the CRM is, and then they just walk in, kick ass, and no problems.
Yeah. Okay. They walk in, kill the leader.
Yeah. Easy.
Easy.
Pretty easy.
And wipe out the whole army.
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
Yeah. Michonne just stumbles into, like, one half of the echelon briefing.
Very lucky, all of them.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have, you know, some issues with this episode, mainly mm-hmm. because I wonder if... So we see Michonne sneak in this briefing that the soldiers are getting about what's going to happen in Portland.
Yeah.
And the whole presentation is just showing photos of the kids. And I was like, what? What is this?
This is who you're kidnapping.
Yeah, because if like it seemed like a tactical briefing, mm-hmm. they should have like maps of Portland. Like, how are they going to like tactics?
Right.
And they were just showing the photos of the kids. And that obviously triggers Michonne. She has two kids.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that didn't happen, if they weren't showing the kids, if they were actually doing a tactical briefing, if the story would have changed.
It's possible.
Because obviously the kids are going to trigger her.
Yeah.
But I also have issue with they are trying to take the CRM down so that they don't kill more communities and all that. But then they kill all the soldiers. You don't know if the soldiers were on board. Like, they're just soldiers, but they're also people.
Yeah.
And they kill them. They kill two by hand. Mm-hmm. Each Michonne and Rick each killed someone by hand. And then they blow up all the soldiers. And I'm like, well, there's some sort of irony here.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the main issue I have with this episode. Just that, I don't know. Why are they choosing who gets to live?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it is the ones who live, Aurora. And I guess somebody has to choose who the ones are.
Yeah.
I guess Rick Grimes and Michonne Grimes are the best
the two enforcers. People
for the job, I guess. My issues really stemmed with how swiftly things wrapped up. Mm-hmm. It just, they just swooped in one episode. And I really hate the swoop in one episode and solve everything. It honestly felt to me like they were putting the pieces in place to do at least another season of this. Right. And now I'm convinced, nope, we're done. We're done with that. And maybe we see these characters again in some form or fashion, maybe on the Daryl Dixon show or on the Dead City show somehow, some way, or there's some sort of coming together at some point. I still haven't really ruled that out. But as far as the second season of this show goes, I don't, I guess they I don't could, care. But I guess they could do it, but I don't know what it would be about specifically. Mm-hmm.
Because they said that the CRM is done, right?
Essentially, yeah. Well, what really happened is the civilian government of Philadelphia took charge of it and changed their mission statement to go help people as opposed to just selfishly protect themselves. Right. I will say this, because Beal was talking about they have discovered walker herds that are like in the millions.
Yes.
And that he did make an allusion to the fact that they are evolving or changing or something. And that they had conservative estimates that humanity's got another 14 years left before they are wiped out either by themselves or
disease
or starvation. And I don't know how this necessarily changes that, but I don't know how many survivors are left. And
that was also my issue, because I know that this guy was extremely selfish.
Yeah.
But you are choosing to bomb an entire community of living people.
Yeah.
And your justification is, oh, we have to kill some to let others live. And I was like, why don't you just use whatever you're using to wipe out a whole community of living people and put that on the herds of walkers that you're talking about.
I mean, the chlorine gas wouldn't have killed them, but...
No, but I mean, they have weapons, they have grenades, absolutely. They have helicopters, you know, they have all the resources to go in.
I feel like...
Eliminate all those walkers.
I feel like they would be better off trying to do that.
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else. I mean, I can sort of see that perspective, because if there are less humans, then there are more resources to go around to the humans that are left. Mm-hmm. And his viewpoint was, we're just trying to extend it. Like, it seemed doomed, which is a weird place to sort of leave everything, is we're doomed. Yeah.
He's making the world worse, because all these humans that you killed are going to be walkers.
Right. Yeah. So... they're not killing them in the sense that they won't come back. You're just adding to the walker population.
Yes.
Maybe they just see it as like a net, you know, but if everything is a game of inches, then maybe I can see that play. But, you know, Rick and Michonne are not going to let that slide. And they were willing to... Now... I know it was a chlorine gas bombs that went off, but you guys needed to see, if you haven't watched the episode, you needed to see this explosion, because this explosion looked like it vaporized everything in the area.
It looked like the nuclear explosion in Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes, it was an insane explosion. And I'm like, no way they survived that. And then they're just under a tarp with water.
Yeah.
I'm like, that can't work. Yeah, right?
Michonne is like, I survived a chlorine gas attack once. We can do this. It's fine.
It just blows me away. It's like, no way. The force of the explosion of the chemicals even would have had to have killed you. It didn't kill Thorn even.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a little tough to buy. I'm pretty sure that would have killed anybody. Just the shockwave of it, I think, would have killed people. And anyway, that was the first explosion that Rick survived. And then later, while they're fighting amidst all the chlorine gas, like remnants, he gets surrounded by a bunch of walkers and he has a grenade on him. And we see him pull the pin. And then there's just a huge explosion, like all the corpses get blown to bits. And I'm like, oh my God, he's dead? Like, that's how we're ending this? He sacrificed himself like that? And then they cut back to him and he's there.
Yeah.
Just fine. I don't know if he punched a hole in a walker or something.
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter what he did. He should not have survived that. That's impossible.
I thought he was at least bitten.
Yeah. Nothing.
Because he was over comp, like a lot of walkers were on top of him.
There were like a dozen. Yeah.
We've seen scenes in Walking Dead shows where less walkers are on top of someone and they're bit.
Yeah. I didn't buy this for a second. He absolutely died at least twice in this episode.
Oh, yes.
But was just, he seemed totally fine for the most part. You know, and then it was just happily ever after. I mean, I will say this. I loved the scene at the end with Judith and RJ. And I was just happy to see Judith again. But I'm a sucker for reunions. Like, I'm 100% that person that will cry every time somebody shows a video of, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, mom or dad came home from a military tour and they surprised their kid or whatever. That's going to make me cry every time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, I'm the guy that cries every time. It's like, my dog hasn't seen me in 3 months. That sort of thing. Yeah. Yes. That'll get me every time. So just put a reunion up there with people, you're going to get me to cry. Mm-hmm. I loved the ending. I thought it was great. And I really do like the happy ending. I don't disagree with how this ended at all. I think they found actually a really nice way to sort of end things. And it feels like there's hope for humanity at the end of it. If you ignore the fact that they think there's only 14 years left of survival. Right.
But this is like a and it's not a normal ending in The Walking Dead.
No, there's usually not
endings
a lot of
hope. Are horrible.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead. Not like they're bad writing or anything. It's just horrible that someone dies or you know, they find a new threat or you know. So seeing something like this, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah,
is someone's gonna get bit all of a sudden? Like,
yeah. It's always looking bleak at best.
Yes.
And this was actually a pretty optimistic sort of feel to the end of the show. And I think I would have loved it more if it, you know, if everything just didn't feel so rushed. That was my biggest issue with the episode, is that it just felt like it all happened too easily and too quickly.
Yeah.
After all that time, like, Rick spent years trying to get out of there. And even when Michonne showed up, it took a good amount of effort for them. But when they're like, you know what, let's just sneak back in. And she snuck back in. I don't even know how.
Climbed a tree and jumped in on a roof.
Yep, that's, you know, nobody noticed. I don't know. It felt so weird to me that it was able to just end that swiftly after all that build up to how fortified, how impossible.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it was like, no, actually, you know what? God, what is that? I don't know if you've seen the YouTube series Pitch Meetings before.
No.
But it's a guy that pitches movies to a movie executive. He pitches real movies. But then mentions, like, they talk about, like, all of the plot holes, and he's like, never mind, don't think about it. but they always set up, like, a really impossible, you know, at the end of the movie or somewhere close to there, they always set up some sort of really impossible task. And the executive sounds like, oh, that sounds like it's going to be, like, a big issue. And the tagline of the show is always, like, something along the lines of, like barely an inconvenience, like not a problem, like barely an inconvenience.
right.
And that is 100% what this episode was.
Yeah.
Was like, wow, that sounds really daunting, their plan. Nope, it just barely an inconvenience. They were able to get in. Getting out was tough.
It was. But I also don't know how Rick was allowed one in. Mm-hmm. And two, given the echelon briefing, if I was like the leader of this CRM, he has been gone for a while. It's not it's not like he came back the next day.
Yeah.
He came back like a week after. Maybe more.
Now, Beale did try to justify this by saying to Rick, you know, for all we knew, you were dead to us and you could have just gone to wherever you wanted to go, but you came back here. So I think he thought Rick was being sincere when he came back and that he wanted to be there. And that was sort of
his mistake.
Yeah. Don't trust Rick Grimes. Don't tell him all this information.
And don't put a sword in front of him.
No.
Also,
bad idea.
Like, yeah.
Just don't give him sharp things, really.
Because what was the point of him sitting down and then being like, give me your gun, give me your, like, fake arm.
Yeah, I think it was sort of like, you know, let's lay our weapons down. We're gonna talk about stuff.
I saw it differently.
Did you? I sort of got this. We're gonna have a chat, but it's gonna be informal. We're not. This is like a person to person, heart to heart talk.
I saw it differently. Saw it as
he didn't trust him.
He said yes, because he said that he has given this briefing to 2,000, I don't know how many, like, people, like
2,500 people or something,
but nobody has been like him.
Mm-hmm. See, now go ahead.
I highly doubt that of all those 2,000 plus people, all of them accepted this briefing. I highly doubt. There has to be a percentage of people that learned this information and were like, what? No. Yeah. So I think that he wanted the guns and everything down so that if he reacted to the news, he would not try to do what he actually did.
Yeah. I mean, and that's possible. There might have been people that said no, and then they're like, okay, well, we'll just shoot you.
Yeah.
I feel like he said that to Rick because later in the conversation, he tells Rick that somewhere down the line, he could see Rick being in charge of the CRM. Mm-hmm. So maybe he said that to him because he saw something in Rick that he didn't see in any of the other people that were just they were just soldiers. They were good soldiers or elite soldiers, but Rick, Rick's a leader, you know, that sort of thing. And maybe that's what it was. Either way, he shouldn't have trusted Rick because Rick totally killed him to death. And he's not coming back. He turned into a zombie and then he got maybe blown up. Definitely got blown up. I don't know. He was there were a lot of grenades that went off too.
Yes.
I'm still really unsure how anybody actually survived that, but okay. Crazy. Mm-hmm. But all right. And also, doesn't it take time to turn if the chlorine gas killed them?
I would assume.
This almost felt like zombie gas. Like as soon as you breathe it in, you turn into a zombie. Yeah. Like they were instantly zombies.
Yes.
I don't know. I demand more clarity from the writers of this show. I need more. My headcanon isn't good enough for this. I need you to explain the science to me behind all of this. Don't tell me it's just a TV show, guys. that's an attitude like that will greatly affect my score, which I know is of paramount interest to you. But yeah, I mean, I like that. It's going to sound like I didn't like this episode. I did like the episode, but it definitely had some of the pitfalls that I've seen with some other shows, some that we've even covered here on Cinema Geekly before, that have this big build up to an end where it feels like they can't possibly squeeze anything into, like they can't possibly squeeze it all into the end. And then they do try to squeeze it all into the end and then it all feels rushed. And I don't like that feeling. I feel like they had more than one season of material here that they could have done. And maybe that was never the plan or it was never going to happen that they were going to do more than one. But then I feel like they should have done more episodes for the season or paced things out a little bit differently because everything just sort of felt very rushed at the end to sort of, you know, get in, get out, blow up the bad guys, happy ending. It just felt like that all just happened too quickly to me.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on the episode, Aurora? And what would you give it?
The only thing I want to add is that at the end, when Michonne calls on the walkie-talkie, Judith.
Yeah.
We only see legs.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that what was going to happen was they were going to arrive and someone else from Alexandria was going to greet them and be like, give the impression that they don't know where Judith is or
something.
Like,
yeah.
Something like that. And I thought that's how we were going to get another season.
Judith is missing.
Now that they're back, now they have to like save their kids or something.
No. Nope.
But no. They're fine, which great.
They're doing great. Judith has grown more, which is crazy.
She's a teen. Yes.
Yeah.
Teenager.
Bonkers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love that. I really love that scene. I'm like, oh my God, it's like Rick and Lori's kid.
Yeah. And it was really sweet to see RJ with like the hat. And
he even gave like the little hat a tug like he did to Carl. Yes.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet. And I did cry.
Yep.
When that happened.
Yeah.
So it did get me.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted about the score. Because even though there were things that bothered me in this episode, I still liked it.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay, that's what I gave it to.
Okay.
I felt pretty conflicted. And the things that really stuck out to me really stuck out to me. But I still liked the episode. And overall, as a season, this is a hit as far as I'm concerned. This has been as good, in places as any of the other spinoff shows. So no complaints from me at all.
It's better than The World Beyond.
Oh, way better than that show. Yeah, I forgot that was a spinoff.
We even forgot about it.
Yeah, we never even finished it, I don't think. We started watching it, and I'm sorry, I don't think we'll be going back to it. Although at some point, for completionist purposes, I would like to actually just watch it so I know what happened. And there was like another spinoff too, and I don't know what happened on that show either. So I'm pretty sure there were like two spinoffs. Weren't there two spinoffs?
I don't know.
I really feel like there were like two spinoffs, but man, damned if I can remember if that were true or not. Well, we have more spinoffs to worry about, but we don't have to worry about them anytime soon. So we're going to take a healthy nap for a while, at least for a couple of months. There is no official date for the second season of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. At least not that I'm aware of. I believe there's just a window date, I believe, of summer, I think, 2024. So somewhere in there, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but I believe the last time I looked, that was sort of the release window. So in that, somewhere in that 3-month period is when we should be expecting that show, but nothing going on until then. So Aurora and I are just going to go take a nap, or maybe we're going to do another podcast on another topic or subject. Yeah, we'll probably do that instead. Yes. But for Walking Dead purposes, we're going to take a nice, long, zombie-sized nap until the summer. But in the meantime,
we're going to be literally walkers.
Yes. 100%. We are going to be zombified, at least until the summer. In the meantime, everybody, you can head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, this is a listener-supported podcast, and there are some ways to help out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We have our merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pocket Casts, anywhere you can find a good podcast. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us sometime in the summer of 2024, where we will begin talking about The Walking Dead: Daryl Dixon (The Book of Carol) episode 1.